All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grimm's not-so-hentai corner, even though it does look like hentai right now, and we're back with Sakura no Mori Dreamers. Long-awaited, and I'm finally bringing it to you guys, so here we go. Welcome. The hell's up with that getup? Huh? You're the last person I want to hear that from. What's that supposed to mean? You wear a lab coat everywhere. What's wrong with a lab coat? Well, this is not the time or place to discuss our fashion sense. Wow, and this woman with a folding fan is actually in a kimono. You must be kidding me. Well, what? I'll have you know a kimono is a wonderful thing to wear. Huh? Why are you looking at me like that? That's just how my eyes always are. Oh, I see. Not gonna add anything else? Ahaha. Did you guys come to my dream for a comedy routine? Not likely. We're here to teach you a lesson. Well, you're welcome to try. It won't be that hard. It's 3-1. And don't expect us to hold back just because we have greater numbers. How about you stand up for starters? Or do you want me to slice you like that? Well then? I thought Tonosawa would stand, but she actually moved sideways without changing positions. It didn't seem like whatever she was sitting on had casters or anything. But what are you doing? Are you stupid or something? Stupid? Me? That's quite something for someone with a mere 100 IQ to say. Human chairs certainly lack elegance, but they can become quite addictive after you've sat in them a few times. You should give them a try. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Indeed. Oink. Ahaha, he cries like a pig when I whip him. That's how well I have him trained. I didn't care about her hobbies, but it seemed like she knew how to use that whip. It could be pretty difficult to avoid that. Tonosawa stroked the bald head of the man underneath her with a cat-like smile. This is my father. He fell for me the first time he laid his eyes on me. Isn't that right, father? This old man is a respectable member of the community once he steps out of the house. An executive of a big company, in fact, but inside. He feels no passion for his wife anymore, and his adult son doesn't even come home. And on top of everything, he's a pedophile. It's only when he sees cute girls like me that his dick that's usually hidden by a layer of fat on his belly rises like a tower, ha ha ha. The two look like they've had quite enough. It's like he was made especially for me. There's no point in listening to a ramble. Let's do this. Yes. Yeah. You're welcome to try, but... Her cute facade crumbled, giving way to a genuinely sly sneer as she flicked her whip. Oink. Others view. You stupid bitch! Who do you think I am? He drank too much that day. As usual, when drunk, he accosted his taxi driver and got kicked out of the car. Damn it, stupid bastard. Hold on a second. There seems to be something. It took but a moment for the rain to drench him up to his underwear and shoes. The unpleasant feeling hurried him on. His feet automatically turned toward home. But... He rubbed his eyes. He either was even drunker than he thought or there was someone in front of him. No, he wasn't seeing things. The person stood in the rain without an umbrella, though then there was little point in having one in this wind. Somewhat unsettled, the man moved more to the side of the road. Oh! He staggered and leaned against a utility pole. His sudden movements must have caught her attention as the girl turned her face to him. Even in his drunken stupor, he could tell she was incredibly beautiful. The alcohol made him far too daring, and it probably didn't help that he'd just been listening to stories from his lady killer acquaintance. There were girls that ran away from their homes looking for someone to save them. All it meant was providing a place to stay and food, and in return they'd spread their legs for you. Oh, it had been a while since he last laid with his wife. He couldn't even get it up for her anymore. Would a taxi come if he called in this weather? Probably not, but he still couldn't waste this chance from the heavens. He had to try and approach her. Hello? Did you run? No, you shouldn't stand in the rain like that, you know. Where's your home? Do you live here? Did you run away from home? Did you? It's not good to get so wet outside. You need a shower or a bath. You're a nice person, aren't you? Oh, yeah, everyone says so. I was just looking for a nice person like you. What are you doing? I'm lifting up my skirt. I can tell that. His eyes were glued to her. Her wet underwear stuck to his skin, highlighting her lackluster curves. Her slender hips looked supple like an unripened fruit, and her skin was white and untouched like a pearl. He couldn't even compare her to his wife. It's like they were different species to begin with. Gulp. Hey! He ended up getting embarrassed despite his age. The girl guided her hand to her crotch. Mister? Do you want to see it? It was a mere whisper, yet it still made its way through the heavy rain to the man's ear. Through the drenched panties, it looked like she barely had any hair down there. He couldn't even imagine what a young girl must have felt like. Tempted by a mix of pubescent middle school nostalgia and weathered middle-aged lust, his rain-soaked pants grew tight. If you want to, then go ahead. You can lean a little closer. Okay. He crouched, almost pressing his face against her crotch. When would she pull her panties down? Huh? Her hands moved behind her back again. Ah, she was teasing him. He knew this feeling well. Phew, you didn't even have time to suffer, old man. You leave the back of your neck wide open when you stoop like that. I can slip a knife between your cranium and spine, right up to your medulla oblongata. There's no spot weaker than that throughout your whole body. The moment it's damaged, you lose your ability to maintain your vital functions and die instantly. That's why you didn't suffer. I'm so nice. I knew I'm a pacifist. Wait. Why did I think to kill some random drunk anyway? Oh, right. I wanted to test if... It's disappeared. Am I hallucinating again? No way. I can still feel the sensation in my hands. It felt like sticking a fork in the soft foy grass. There's no way I could have imagined. Again, the same shadow from the afternoon, though it was a different color this time. This is strange, but the body has really disappeared. The bodies won't stay. I see. It seems I wasn't just a genius. I had more hidden talents to be discovered. If that's the case, there's nothing to be afraid of, and I don't even need to bide my time either. I can erase my hindrances right away. Tonosawa overwhelmed us as we sat. I barely saw her hand move as an intense pain flared along my left arm. It was like I'd stuck it into boiling water, or it was being flayed. Move faster. Oink. Kirito swung her fan that cut better than any blade, but the chair had already moved out of the way by then. The guy was surprisingly fast for someone on all fours. Are you okay, Fukagami? You're bleeding from your arm. Yeah. Oh, it looks like it hurts. You shouldn't look. It's quite a nasty sight. There are still some countries that have whipping as a punishment. And I hear it can lead to death when it goes on for too long. You wouldn't think something that soft could contain so much power. Tonosawa flicked the whip in the air, making a crackling sound. Don't make me hurt you too much, Shinji. You're my precious toy. It'd be a tragedy if you completely broke. Yeah, right. As if that wasn't exactly what you want. I nodded towards the man that doubled as her mount. His entire body was covered in scars. Aha, aha. But he likes it. Isn't that so, father? Ugh. Kirito gave me a silent nod from behind her. It looked like she was in position for a pincer attack. It was difficult to dodge that whip, but this time I did it on purpose and caught it with my hand. She pulled it to all directions, but I wouldn't lose a battle of pure strength. She quickly jumped off the chair and lifted the man up by his collar. Kirito stopped centimeters away from them, unable to hurt the man. Haha, I knew it. You look like one of those kind-hearted types. You can only hurt those that you deemed evil and no one else. She lowered herself onto the man's back again and pulled out another whip. Didn't you say you'd teach me a lesson? Wasn't it 3-1 and you wouldn't show me mercy? I'm the one who's in position to show mercy here. She was a more difficult opponent than I expected. The chair moved a lot faster than you'd think, and it was hard to fight while trying to avoid hurting him. Done. Do it again. It looked like Arisaka or Arisaka had prepared something. I think it's... yeah. Is it Arisaka? Yeah, Kirito and I gave silent nods. Disgraceful. The whip darted after Kirito as though having a will of its own. Kirito somehow managed to slice it apart before it reached her, but Tonosawa had always started moving by that point. Why did you stop? What is... what is this, a chestnut? Huh? Why would something like that be on my floor? Huh? Yeah! Tonosawa flew to the opposite end of the room. I thought I'd feel bad for punching a woman, even in her case, but not an ounce of regret. I'm quite something, aren't I? I'm good at painting still life. Letting your guard down is your worst enemy, Tonosawa. Good job, Mifuyu. Thanks. Has the gate appeared yet, Mahoro? Wait, Yeah, we didn't do anything, yet there was another scream. My face! My beautiful face! Tonosawa was staring at a hand mirror. You impotent fuckhead bastard! Is this how you thank me for being nice to you? Being nice? What are you even talking about? Her nose. Oh, that looks bad. It'll feel hella weird when she wakes up. Don't discuss it like it's fucking nothing, you filthy cunts! You've got quite a dirty mouth. You should probably work on that. This is how I was raised. Not everyone gets born with a spoon in their mouth. I'm done. I'll kill all three of you. I'm so sad, Shinji. I wanted to make you into my toy, at least. But I don't care anymore. I'll break you like the junk you are. I'll tear you into pieces and throw you into burnable trash, and that'll be it. You'll kill us? Are you being serious right now? Yes, I am. I just found out something recently. What? The bodies of people I killed disappear. Everyone, something odd is happening. Please get out of there now. Huh? Come back. How are we even supposed to... Mahoro, she's heavily wounded. We're almost... Hurry! It sounded like she was serious. I won't let you escape. Ah! Two whips danced through the air, coiling around Kirito and Arisaka's legs, lifted them up and dangled them upside down from the ceiling lights. You should know I've been holding back. And you repaid me by ruining my face, you piece of shit. I'll cut your useless dick off for this. Oh, what should I do? I have a really bad feeling about this. We're completely defenseless when we're diving into dreams. Right, and Hatsune is waiting for us right now, too. Shizumiya seems slightly apprehensive of diving into someone with the same powers as her. And it looked like something had made her anxiety explode just now. Well then, what should I do with you, Senpai? We can test if my scissors are sharp enough to cut through your pathetic thing. Or we can see how you like watching those filthy cunts get whipped to death. Which one would you prefer? They were sleeping peacefully earlier, but now all their features suddenly contorted. Did that mean they were having a hard time in the dream? Either way, she was told it was impossible to forcefully wake them up, no matter how much in pain they looked. Worry filled her heart to the brim. God, at least I wish that thunder would stop. Hatsune anxiously glanced outside the window. She hated thunder. An intense rumbling followed after a short delay. She felt like she saw something in that flash of light. She looked around to see everyone sleeping like before. There was nothing but an alcove on the other side of the window. With her attention peaked, Hatsune carefully peered out the window once more. Her entire body froze at the sight of what she saw. Once the initial shock finally passed, she jumped up, but her body was so stiff that she stumbled on her feet. Good evening. It took her a moment to process who it was that she was looking at. Drenched from head to toe, she didn't much look like her usual self to begin with, but the very atmosphere around her, the air she emanated, had changed completely. The sinister, almost demonic expression on her face sent chills down Hatsune's spine.
You were with them, I see, though I don't really have any business with you anymore. Pardon me, folks.
Eh? One, two, three, four, I see. So it was Shizumiya doing the actual transfer. Might just kill her for being involved. What? The woman regarded Hatsune, who was still struggling on the floor, with ice-cold eyes. But I'll kill you too if you get in my way. On occasion, Tonosawa would take on a cold and callous demeanor, but tonight it was on a whole other level. It was as though she had been transformed. I'll let you live if you mind your own business. I was planning to take care of you tomorrow, but that doesn't matter anymore. Before she knew it, the countdown on her timer had stopped and the hands had reverted to zero. Well then, there was a sharp-looking knife in her hand, and Hatsune's friends were defenseless as they slept in their seats. No! Are you deaf? Okay, I'll take you out of the picture first if that's what you want. Hatsune glanced at her wrist in response to the loud warning sound. The arrow's now pointed at less than 1 minute. I'd rather have neither. So you'd rather run? Wow, I thought better of you. An antique-looking candlestick stood on the table before me. It had a number of sharp protrusions to stick candles onto. Just the idea of it going through someone's throat sent a shiver down my spine, but I had no choice. It seemed to be made of metal and was pretty heavy. In other words, it was perfect. What are you doing? Ah, jeez, this is so irritating. I can't stand senseless behavior like that. I get it now. Oh my god, Shinji, this again? I suppose it's a way to escape from a dream, but... The crash of thunder echoed in my ears as I opened my eyes. My body was paralyzed, probably from the shock of having died. It felt like a Herculean task just to move a finger, so I only moved my eyes for starters. Well then, Tonosawa. She was somehow in our room. She's probably the source of Shizumiya's anxiety. No! Are you deaf? Okay, I'll put you out of the picture first if that's what you want. Still slouching, I slowly moved my arms. My backpack lay at my feet. This is no good, I won't make it in time. I kicked the chair to attract her attention. Tonosawa turned at me. Did I just imagine that? Well, whatever. It seemed I managed to buy some time, but my fingers still couldn't reach their target. In that moment, I coughed, suddenly overtaken by the previous sensation of having my throat slashed. Shinji! The sensation was somewhat reminiscent of puking. I twisted my body like a spring. Utilizing this position, I managed to get over the armrest and fall onto the floor. You were awake? I see, so that's what happens when you die in a dream. I was lucky. I fell right on my backpack. Though it looks like you have some trouble moving. Haha, okay, you get to watch as your little sister dies and turns into a monster. I heard a wet footstep. Tonosawa was closing in on my family. Couldn't let her do it. Ah! The Bodok jumped out of Hatsune's body and flew towards me. Yeah. Yeah, my cheek, my plumpy cheek is gone! You were just told that you keep letting your guard down. I thought geniuses had better memories than that. Yeah, you bastard! Looks like you got another scar now. That kind of thing seems to hurt you the most. Tonosawa began furiously rubbing her nose. The sensation of discomfort from getting punched in the dream probably finally caught up with her. Blood continued dripping from her cheek. Her face looked completely foreign to me now. Not only was it because of the blood, but the actual look of her face had changed into what had to be one of the most repelling things I'd ever seen. That was probably as she looked on the inside. I'll kill you all! I'll fucking crush your balls as you die! I might have used up all my strength earlier, as I came to realize that I couldn't move again. I had to buy a little more time. But Tonosawa approached me right away, her shoulders shaking indignantly. No! Hatsune, move out of the way! No! You two can die together. What? I didn't know why, but the Bodok suddenly jumped out of my body. There was no way I could have mistaken it. It definitely came out of me. That monster! I thought that was what bodies turned into. Tonosawa stared at the Bodok. It looked like it was staring back at her. Huh? Tonosawa lowered her knife and considered her palms with a puzzled expression. That was enough time for me to feel my body again. I quickly readied the revolver. That's not a monster or a ghost, but something more like a grim reaper. Huh? What? You've been possessed by a Grim Reaper. I'm sure a smart person like you can figure out what that means. Ridiculous. A Grim Reaper? There's no way anything like that could... Do you think it was just hallucination, then? See? I tossed the timer to her, and she reflexively caught it. Check the clock. It shows how long you've got to live. Her sly, narrow eyes began slowly widening. You're screwing with me! The timer hit me and dropped to the ground. Hatsune picked it up. An hour. It shows there's just an hour left. I can't possibly die. She was trying to kill us, yet the thought of her own life being in danger never crossed her mind. I suppose that was how most murderers thought. Listen to me, Tonosawa. I don't care about what happens to you, but it'll make it hard for me to sleep at nights if I let you go without saying a word. I took out the coin I kept for emergencies and tossed it to her. I explained the mechanics behind testing fate. A coin toss? Yes, you don't have to believe me. As I said, I'm not too concerned about what happens to you. I kept the revolver pointed at her forehead throughout the entire conversation. I didn't know why, but Madoka manifested and stood beside me with a stern look on her face. Tonosawa opened her mouth as her eyes fixed on the muzzle. You murderer. You're the last person that should be accusing people of that. I may be a bit mad, but so are you, Shinji. Your mom and your dad and your girlfriend all died and it broke your mind. Ah ha ha. I won't let you insult my brother. Should I go to the roof of some building? Yeah. It's not so easy to get on one, you know. It's not my problem. Come to think of it, I saw a construction site on my way here. Maybe over there. Tonosawa turned on her head, then paused in front of the window and looked over her shoulder. Her eyes didn't look like they belonged to a human being anymore. I'll kill you all, I swear. My trigger finger grew tense. There was nothing stopping me from killing her now. But I couldn't bring myself to shoot the second bullet tonight. I crumpled to the floor as Tonosawa walked off into darkness. Are you okay, Shinji? Yeah, no, I'm perfectly fine physically. My senses are just messed up. What do you mean? The window. What on earth happened? Everyone. I turn around to see all three waking up. More importantly, were you all right? Yes, we managed to escape somehow. It looked like she lost interest in fighting midway. It was Tonosawa. She was here. I see, so she acted in reality while also fighting us in the dream. Are you hurt, Fukugami? Did she do something to you? No, this is the aftershock of the earlier. What happened to him in that dream? Not knowing whether it was okay to reveal it, everyone turned to me. I'll tell you later. Really? You promise? I nodded. More importantly, are you hurt, Hatsune? No, not really, but... She let out a long breath. My heart almost stopped when I suddenly saw someone outside the window. Her features were different, too. It was almost like she was someone else entirely. What happened to her in the end? She ran away. I told him about how a Bodok jumped into her. I'm not sure if it was the right thing to do, but I told her about the coin toss method. We'll see how it goes for her. Maybe we should follow her just in case. We might end up having to fight her again. Yeah, she said she'd kill us before she left. I probably shouldn't have told her. It was probably more inexperienced naivete than actual kindness that pushed me to do it. I didn't have the resolve to take someone's life. I understand how you felt. Shizumiya addressed me in a consoling voice. You all may have unusual powers and dreams, but in reality, you're just students. Yeah. Can you walk? Yeah, as long as we take it slow. I wonder if she's talking about the abandoned... I might know that too. There were plans to build a suburban department store a little way from the center. But it ended up abandoned before it even got the chance to be finished once the bubble burst. The bubble? It must be pretty old then. It was nearby according to her. I wonder if I should send the repair bill to Tonosawa's house. The rain was so strong that the umbrellas were completely useless. You should use the rain gear you said you brought. Ah, I was lying about that. I'd actually brought the revolver there. Kirito gave me a light nod. She still believed it was filled with blanks. I thought about telling her the whole truth, but... There was a big open window behind Tonosawa when I shot at her, and with the size of Kirito's garden, it was unlikely a small piece of metal would be discovered anytime soon. It probably wouldn't have hurt to keep silent about this. About your promise, Shinji. To tell the truth... You died? In a dream. It still seemed to have shocked her as she stared at me wide-eyed. That's the quickest way to get out of a dream. Don't leave after effects. Are you sure you're okay? Hatsune asked in a worried voice. Yeah. I didn't tell her that getting hurt in a dream messed you up mentally, not just distorted your sensations in the real world. Though a person's mind could surely handle it if it was just once or twice. I've never seen anyone as brave as Shinji before, though I'd rather he tried keeping himself out of harm's way a little bit more. Right, she told me something along those lines some time ago. But then again, my actions didn't really stem from bravery or courage. I didn't want to agree with Tonosawa, but I couldn't deny that at least a part of me was broken. We continued on in silence. Everyone was obviously exhausted with it being so late at night. Shinji. Monika looked at me with an unusually stiff expression, just like earlier. You can't go around killing people, even under these kind of extreme circumstances. I was just defending myself. Still, I know a bit about how laws work. You probably wouldn't be convicted even if someone died. But I still don't want to see you killing anybody. Those words carried the weight and sorrow of someone who experienced it firsthand. Reasons aside, she didn't want me to become a murderer and level with these bastards. That's why I covered the pistol with my hand earlier. Ah, I thought I saw something like that. I was so focused on Tonosawa back then that my brain barely processed it. I wanted to change the direction of the bullet. You know, you can't touch things. But I look like I exist to you, don't I? So I thought you might at least reflexively try to avoid me and mess up your aim. That was entirely possible. My hand might have very well moved by itself. I was just an amateur. I could easily miss even at a point-blank range. Still, thanks, Madoka, you might have saved me. Just promise me. I nodded. I wondered if I'd really be able to keep that promise. I never knew there was something like this nearby. I feel I could turn it into a nice painting. Huh? Really? Don't you get that feeling? Abandoned sites make great creepy paintings. It looks really bare bones, though. Yeah, I bet the plan outline was pretty rough even before the bubble burst. You think she's there? Kirito looked up at the roof, but we couldn't see anything through the storm and the flashlights were useless at that distance. Let's try going inside. 10 minutes ago. I feel like shit. I'm drenched all over and my shoes are full of water. This is all so infuriating. I'll kill all of these idiots. That's the only way to treat my bleeding heart. Phew, finally, and I made it in time. A coin toss, huh? I'm not sure if I could trust what he said, though he never appeared to be a bluffing type. He called it a Grim Reaper, and I saw it with my own eyes. No way. Though as frustrating it is to admit it, I'm scared. That's why I came all this way, despite how awful it was in the rain. Might as well do this crap. Huh? What are you doing here, little lady? Hiding from the rain? Yes, that's right. By the way, is that an 883? Oh wow, you can recognize it? How come? Aha, I like bikes. Mister, could you drive me around behind your back? Oh sure, let's do that. Oh wait, you've got something in your hair. Huh? I'll take it off for you. Haha, thanks. Does it hurt? Well, of course it does, to have something like this pierce your throat. I won't let you die so easily. I'm sorry. I'm in a really bad mood right now. I killed you merely to vent, that's all. Ah ha ha! Finally. Ugh, this is so high. I'm not very good with heights. It's so ridiculous, though. A coin toss? I could just ignore it if I don't like the result. Ah, I'm almost out of time. Anyway, might as well try it. A 10-yen coin. According to mint regulation, it should have a Baido in Temple's Phoenix Hall on the back, if memory serves. Okay, let's go with Tails then. This one didn't count. I was just practicing. The next toss will be the real thing. Wait, that's against the rules. My stomach. What is this? No. You shouldn't grab a blade like that. You could slice off your fingers, though I suppose that doesn't really matter anymore. You fucking piece of shit. Give up. That's a lethal wound. You won't last for another minute. No way. You're lying. You screwed up your coin toss, which means it was your fate to die. I was watching earlier. You killed that person without hesitating. As such, I can't have someone like you prowling around in this town. Besides, that man transformed into a Bodok. A what? You were possessed, both by a demon and a Grim Reaper. Oh wait, there's someone lying there, I think. Kirito pointed her flashlight at what looked like a shape of a person on the ground. Let's check it out. Okay. Hatsune cried out and grabbed onto my arm. All of us froze. I felt sick. We were mere students, so seeing a body was a bit... It seems the coin toss didn't work out for her. Tonosawa lay crumpled on the ground, her arms and legs bent in unnatural directions. She looked like a discarded mannequin. Yet I knew that body was alive, walking and talking just some time ago. Even if there was the soul of a murderer dwelling inside it. Huh? Wait, the rain's kind of masking it, but look at her back. I did as Arisaka said. Upon a closer look, I realized that she had a deep gash in her back. Kirito gasped. Her reaction was even stronger than we discovered the than when we discovered the body. You can't inflict a wound like that with a regular weapon. I think it's Arisaka. Arisaka, too, wore a grim, scary expression. That's a sword wound. What do we do? My mind went blank for a moment. Kirito's expression tensed up while Shizumiya regarded the two with a worried look. Her voice pulled the two back to reality. Someone appeared out of the entrance of the building. You guys. Sis. Kirito had a sister? I reflexively looked at her face, but with the sunglasses covering it, I couldn't quite tell if they looked alike or not. I see, you were following that woman too. The woman languidly nodded at the body on the ground. I suppose you could say that. I just ran into her by coincidence. I usually patrol around this area at night, so I guess she's like Batwoman or something. I spotted a weird woman, and after following her for a bit, saw her kill somebody. Huh? She killed someone? Yes, so you don't need to glare at me like that, Mifu. Kirito's sister maintained a carefree attitude, but that made Arisaka glare at her even harder. I'll never forgive you, Serena. The woman shrugged and turned to Kirito. I saw it with my own eyes. The body of her victim disappeared. That would have sounded crazy under any other circumstances, but we knew what that meant better than anyone. Don't tell me you let her escape on purpose. Kirito fell silent when the woman's lips curled into a cold smile. Don't tell me you're still thinking naive things like not wanting to dirty your hands. That'll only increase the number of victims in the long run. Well, you're free to work as you wish, but don't complain about my methods. You don't have the right. I remember the weight and feel of the gun in my hands. I had it pointed at Tonosawa's back. Was I supposed to pull the trigger back then? That would have saved whoever she killed here tonight. The woman sized us all up through her glasses, then turned around. See you. Wait. Mom and Dad are worried. Tell them I'm not planning to come back. The woman continued into the darkness without looking back. Let's check the interior just in case. Okay. The unfinished department store with no partitions for individual areas felt uncomfortably spacious. There was a large bike parked there as though to escape the rain. I walked closer to look it over. It was freshly polished. It couldn't have been abandoned like the rest of the stuff here. Is anybody here? No one answered. I wonder if the owner of this... Yeah. What do we do now? We were drenched and exhausted beyond belief. All of us wanted to go back home as soon as possible, but we had a body on our hands. I'll ask Grandpa to contact the police. I'm sure he'll manage it better than any of us. Okay, then let's go home. We walked in heavy silence. Arisaka's unusual behavior caught my attention earlier, but I didn't have the energy to ask. I was beyond spent. Shinji, wake up. It's morning already. Good morning. Good morning. Phew. You still look tired. Yeah, must be pretty pathetic since you're the one who hasn't slept all night. I didn't do anything. You did all the hard work. Did you manage to get up all right this morning? Actually, I slept in, so Mom had to wake me up. Good morning. Good morning. Are you feeling okay today, Miss Miyako? I woke up red as rain, and I didn't need to walk from my apartment this morning. We should all move in together already. I nodded while Miss Miyako looked troubled. I can't decide something like that right away. More importantly, I saw Hatsune accompanied you last night. We left her a note in case she woke up and looked at in case she woke up and looked for us at night. Yeah. Our activities were probably a lot different from what Miss Miyako imagined, so Hatsune just nodded with a somewhat mixed expression. You didn't like it? No, it was okay. Then take her out again sometime, will you? Can do. Munch, munch. Woof, woof. You two are eating like wolves today. Is that because we didn't have much for dinner last night? That too, but I also went to bed late, so... I don't mind you letting your hair down, but try not to stay up too late at night. I don't think there'll be many opportunities for that again for a while. A woman's body was discovered early this morning in the outskirts of Sekiranomori City. The police has ruled the incident as a potential homicide and are currently investigating. Oh, a murder. That's awful. The victim has been identified as Tonosawa Arisa, a student in one of the... Tonosawa Arisa, a student in one of the city's academies. Tonosawa, it's her! How could it be? She was killed yesterday. I don't even... Miss Miyako stared at the TV, forgetting her breakfast. Her shoulders only relaxed after they moved on to a different story. I can't believe a girl I've been drinking tea with just yesterday is now dead. It's unbelievable. I just can't. I hope the culprit gets caught. I mean, she was a murderer, though. For once, we actually knew who did it. Though I wasn't sure if I wanted that woman to get caught for Tonosawa's death. I'm sorry I keep saying this over and over, but please be careful, you two. Okay. Got it. I'm still so sleepy. Same here. Together we slogged toward school. On top of being sleep-deprived, yesterday's events weighed heavy on our shoulders. It was the first time I tried to kill a person, even though it was out of self-defense. I never even dreamed I'd ever find myself in such a situation. Wait, dreamed? That's probably not quite true. My head's still messed up after yesterday. Yeah. Bodox, death, fate. I heard these words from you many times already, but... Seeing it all firsthand, with her fear momentarily coming back, Atsune hugged her shoulders. I lightly patted one of them. I can't blame you. I was scared too. Really? Of course. I see. I thought you weren't scared of anything. That's not true. I smiled at her weakly. You prefer if nothing scared me? No, not really. It's still true that you're very brave, though. That's the reason I couldn't shoot Tonosawa at the very end. I'm scared, too. I couldn't push Kirito's sister's words out of my mind. Would I have saved a person's life if I pulled the trigger back then? She said something about dirtying one's own hands. I thought that wasn't really our role, but... Rather, I'm even more glad to learn there are things that can faze even you. I relaxed my expression. But I wonder what kind of person that woman, Kirito's sister, is. I can't believe she could kill a person so apathetically. Yeah. It didn't look like it was her first time either. There must have been others. Others? I silently shook my head. Well, heroes are there to punish the wicked, aren't they? How many heroes were there in this town? See you. Yeah, Shinji. Hmm? Do you have time after school? There's something I want to tell you. Sure, by that, do you actually mean after your club? Yeah, after club. Got it. Good morning. Morning. Normally we just nod at each other, but this time she actually addressed me. It seems to have caused quite an uproar in school. She was quite famous here, wasn't she? Yeah, she was on TV when she was little or something, so... I guess that's partly why everyone's talking about it then. I looked around the classroom to see almost everyone assembled in their cliques and whispering to each other. I'm sure having someone from our school murdered would have caused an uproar anyway. I guess so. Kirito nodded to herself with a morose expression. I couldn't blame her. It was her sister who did it after all. There was a bunch of things I'd have liked to ask, but I figured it'd be for the best to give her space for now. Hey. Morning. Did you hear? One of our first years, Tonosawa got killed. Yeah. Didn't she come to the classroom to see you a bunch of times? You knew? I was watching. I mean, she's famous and really cute. It's really depressing to think someone like that got killed. One more serial killer disappeared from this town. Did that push Sakura Nomori one step closer to peace? Not at all. I left the house at the time we'd agreed on. Hatsune should have been waiting for me in Sakura Nomori Park. Come to think of it, we didn't usually meet up outside. Well, that was only natural when we pretty much lived together. I wonder what she wants to talk about. Monoko would usually show up and say something at times like this, but she didn't this time. Shinji. I'm sorry for making you come all this way. What are you talking about? I couldn't stifle a smile. You don't need to feel bad about things like that. We're family. Want to sit on the bench? Hatsune shook her head, so we just moved to the shade. Shinji. About what you just said, hmm? To be honest, I don't really think of us as brother and sister. I mean, we're actually cousins, so, she paused for a moment, but then she looked up as though to banish any lingering doubts. I don't think there's use in hiding it anymore after what has happened with Tonosawa. I love you, Shinji. Wait, I don't want an answer from you right away. Mom keeps saying all these weird things, but we're still siblings, technically, at least. I think you wouldn't know what to say to something like this coming out of nowhere. And then there's Madoka. I don't think you can get in that kind of mood quite yet, regardless with whom. I gave her a small nod. It made me feel bad, but it was the truth. So I don't really want an answer right away. I just wanted you to know how I feel. I'm sorry for forcing you up to this point. It's not your fault. I knew how she felt for a while now, but I kept her hanging. If anything, I wanted to do this. I just used Tonosawa as an excuse. I was thinking to tell you ever since you joined Sakura no Mori Dreamers. It seemed like Sakura no Mori Dreamers not only affected my bizarre nights, but the days of my normal life as well. The fact that I was having this kind of conversation with a girl that was like my little sister proved that better than anything. That's all I wanted to tell you. I'll go home by myself today. See you tomorrow. Yeah, see you. I watched her until she disappeared from sight. That's what it means to be alive, Shinji. Huh? I gave her a puzzled look. Everything moves and changes. Only the dead stay in one place. I know how you feel, but I can't stop time. You've got no choice but to keep moving forward. Please give it some more serious thought this time. Madoka disappeared before I could respond. Time moved forward, and everything changed. I accepted that, yet at the same time, a part of me still couldn't let her go. If anything, I wished for my wound not to heal. But everything changed, just as she said, even things around me. But still... What are you doing? Stop! I'll make it shut up. Stop it! It's silent now. Let's stand already. Let's stand and go through that door. You won't do it. You can't. I'm not just sitting in place. Huh? I'm waiting. For who? For mother. Mother? To what? Me. Here we are. The Sugata Ruhei. Conclusion. Tsukuda, yeah. I know that one. It's called Bondage Fashion, isn't it? Well, it is 2 o'clock, guys. And, well, not 2 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock here. But anyway, yeah, we are completely finished with an hour of this. We got through the whole fucking, yeah. Arisa, we got through all that shit. So now we're, I think, towards the very end of the game, which is great. Because, you know, I've been trying to get through this one for a while. It's quite long. It's one of the longest ones we've covered. So, I'm glad you guys are sticking around for this. I'm not in the best of shape right now, but I'm still gonna push on through it. Alright, guys, so that'll be the Grim Lord. I thank you for joining us, and I am out of here. Later.